Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. Welcome to Springs of Living Water with Pastors Ray and Jan Greenlee.
Recently, a young woman who used to be our neighbor stopped to visit my wife and me. She comes from a very troubled past, having given herself over to alcohol and every other unclean wickedness. She's now pregnant, living with her boyfriend, and they're planning to get married sometime after their child is born. During the past few years when she lived close to us, my wife reached out often to her by sharing cookies or helping care for her flower beds, and she was able to speak with her about Jesus. Finally, the crisis came one night when she was arrested for drunk driving. We watched with tears as she was handcuffed and taken into police custody. Finally, she woke up to the fact that she alone was responsible for her actions. She joined Alcoholic Anonymous and began attending two or three meetings every day, and now has been sober for 10 months. This visit was the first time the Lord had allowed me to begin to share with her the redemption story of Jesus and the power of His blood to set her free from all sin. I told her that she would always be an alcoholic and would always have to attend her support group at AA unless she was born again as a new creature in Christ. She was sharing with us that most of the people in her AA group go to church, but that they don't find the power there to remain sober. Church, she said, seems to be more of a social gathering, not a place of victory over addictions. And then she said, "I'm now going to church." She continued sharing that she had decided to go back to her parents' church and then said, "I've been going now several times, but I won't go back." Startled by her firmness, I asked her, "Why not?" She quickly responded, "Everyone shows up in t-shirts, cutoffs, tennis shoes, sweatpants. They have no respect for God. I believe you should dress with respect for God when you go to church." We both agreed with her as she explained her belief, saying, "They just have no respect for God." But she quickly came to her real point of disgust from her last visit to church, saying, "They had a music group, and the entire worship service was a concert. It started with just a couple of announcements, but the pastor never stood up and spoke God's word, and that's why I go to church. I needed to hear from God, not be entertained." We were both surprised at her honesty, but loved how hungry she was for God. We continued to share the gospel with her, and she asked, "Where does your church meet? Could I come?" I quickly responded, "Of course, you're always welcome. Come sit with us. But realize we deal straight with sin and teach about the power of God that comes and changes a person's life. Is that what you're looking for? Is that what you want?" "Yes," she said, "that's what I need." This young woman needs to be saved. This young woman has been going to churches searching for God and has been finding no presence of the Holy Spirit, no power of the blood. She's been finding a false gospel. The Apostle Paul, in Romans, the first chapter, speaks about not being ashamed of the gospel because it is the dynamite of God. It's the power of God. It changes a person's life. It saves a person from their wickedness. It gives them a new heart. They're not the same anymore. He says there's a righteousness from God that is revealed, a righteousness that's by faith from first to last. He says the righteous will live by faith, but then he quickly changes and he begins to talk about the wrath of God that's being revealed from heaven against all this godlessness and wickedness. And this dear young woman walked in every kind of despicable wickedness. And now the Lord is calling her. We've been praying for years for her. God is calling her out of that, and her heart is wide open. But she needs to be changed. And the weak gospel of entertainment will not change her life. It won't break the addiction. And yes, she could continue to go to the AA meetings 2 or 3 times a day the rest of her life and go to church for the social life. But what kind of salvation is that? She needs a salvation that sets her utterly free from her addictions. She needs a salvation that changes her. Paul says in chapter 1 of Romans, verse 18, the wrath of God, the anger, the passionate anger of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. So this church that she went to is suppressing the truth by their wickedness, bringing worldly music into the sanctuary, entertaining the people, but not lifting up the cross of Jesus and not telling people the truth that they can be made clean, made whole, changed. Now, Paul goes on and he speaks about this issue of wrath and what brings this wrath of God. And I want you to see in detail what brings this wrath of God. He says in verse 20, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, they've been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. There's no reason to doubt an intelligent designer behind the creation. You don't have a Harrier jet suddenly leap out of the sea and fly off. It just doesn't work that way. That Harrier jet was created with highly skilled technicians, knowing how to put together material things to produce an aircraft that can hover and fly, a mighty aircraft. Everything is plain in what has been created, that there is a God. And this God, the scriptures tell us, is filled with wrath against this ungodliness that has swept over America. Verse 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. So the Lord is saying that the first step away from righteousness is when I refuse to honor the Lord God of heaven, when I refuse to acknowledge him as my Maker and my Savior, when I begin to establish for myself my own reality, when I begin to create for myself that which I love, the physical realm, and I take this over the spiritual realm, I make a god of my physical things. He goes on, although they claim to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men, birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. In this church I was describing for you, they have begun to worship created things. They worship the music. They worship the entertainment. They worship the wonderful sounding choirs. They worship the smooth words of the preacher. but they're utterly deceived because the presence of the Holy Spirit is not there. A worldly young woman goes to that church seeking for God and instead finds foolishness. You notice in what I'm sharing with you that these were obvious choices that men made. They chose not to glorify God. They chose to create things that became more important to their heart than the living God of heaven. They chose to move away from the Lord, and as they moved away from the Lord's judgment began to come upon them, and the judgment was that he gave them over to futile thinking, to foolish hearts, to darkened minds. It wasn't because they were ignorant that they became darkened in their minds. Many of you today listening to this broadcast understand much about the Scriptures, but you're still darkened in your mind, in your heart, because you're following the traditions of your father and your grandfather. You're following the traditions of this modern age. You're following the culture of the modern Christian church. You're following everything but Jesus. Only Jesus can save you. The church cannot save you. Only the Word of God spoken in clarity under the anointing of the Holy Spirit can save you. God gave them over in verse 24 in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossips, slanders, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They're senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do the very thing, but they also approve of those who practice them. Now he says one more thing, and I need to share this also. Verse 26. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. He's obviously speaking about a homosexual lifestyle. What I want you to see here in Romans, the first chapter, is that all forms of sexual impurity are a judgment from God. Every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity, it's God giving us over to the desires of our hearts. He's giving us over to that wickedness, to the devil's camp of darkness and destruction. God is giving America over right now to every kind of wicked thing. Some of you think we should go change the laws, that we should demand that marriage be between only a husband and a wife, not a man and a man or a woman and a woman. You're looking at the wrong issue. The issue is not what the laws of our land say. The issue is the sin of God's people. God is giving his people over to judgment because of the wickedness we have given ourselves to. God is coming with judgment upon America. He's destroying the whole financial base of America. We're not in a recession. We're not in depression. We're in judgment. And God's judgment is going to totally remove from America the wealth that he has given to her. And now we have our government stealing the last dollars out of America. People's wealth has been cut by 40 to 50%. Their home values have dropped 30 to 40%. We're seeing an absolute destruction of America as we have known it, because America was based on the teachings of Almighty God. But we've cast him out of the public square. Why? Because we've cast him out of our hearts. America has cast God out of their hearts. We've believed the lie that came flowing out of the Reformers and out of the Roman Catholic Church, that we can be walking in sin and still be loved and accepted by God. We've bought into that lie, and now we're reaping the full harvest of the Reformed gospel. It's no gospel at all. We're now receiving the full judgment of God because we've turned to every kind of darkness in America. We've exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and we've worshiped and served created things. Frankly, people say to me, "Oh, Pastor, I can't come to the National Prayer Chapel. I live way over on the other side of the city. I couldn't drive to Woodbridge." Well, why not? You drive that far for work every day. "I don't have the time. I can't do that. It would cost too much. It would take gas." Why? Because everything is more important than God's word. Our lifestyle, our dinner engagements, our vacations, everything is more important than God's word. And now God is saying, "All right, America, I'm going to come and I'm going to take it all away from you." Jeremiah said that any nation that would turn in rebellion against Almighty God, the Lord God of heaven would come and destroy that nation. And God is now coming to destroy America, the land of our dreams, the most wonderful place ever birthed in all of history, the place from which flowed the gospel of Jesus Christ, the place where we've lived in freedom and had every amenity to satisfy our every desire and our every need. And suddenly all of that now is to be stripped away from us. We will be reduced to rioting and starvation. There will be hunger in America like we could not begin to imagine. God is judging us because we have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. I want to share with you a passage of Scripture in the book of Ephesians. Let me begin reading for you in Ephesians, the second chapter. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." I want to stop. Do you notice? In any person who is disobedient, it is the spirit of darkness. It is the work of the devil in their heart, and they are in agreement with it, and so they are disobedient to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." I want you to understand this today. It's so simple, and yet it's so vital. The choices you make day by day will determine whether the blessing of God will rest on your life or whether the wrath of God will rest on your life. The door of heaven opens slowly, and the door of heaven closes slowly. The door of heaven is closing slowly on America. And with very rapid steps now, we see the destruction of our nation. It is the wrath of God upon us. Notice verse 4, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." We pray now for judgment unto repentance in America. We ask that the Lord God of heaven bring revival to your heart. We say, O God, start with me. O God, start revival with my heart. Turn my heart away from every dead transgression. Turn my heart away from every wickedness. Remove your wrath. And I have such joy in my heart that this young woman I described at the beginning of this broadcast has been turned from a life of utter destruction. The Lord God of heaven has begun to call after her heart. He is going to save this young woman. He's going to save her baby, and he's going to save her husband. He's going to change them and transform them into his likeness. They're hungry for God. They're utterly worldly people, utterly given to the party and the dance and the drinking and every unclean thing going on. But the God of heaven has such mercy. He reaches out, he goes to the bottom of the barrel, and he grabs that soul. And in his mercy, he begins to draw their heart. And if they'll respond to that drawing in their heart, he will remove his wrath from them, and he will save them by his grace. Now, when we speak about saving, let's be clear about what we mean. The word being used here in the Greek, it is by grace you have been saved. This word saved is sozo. This is the scriptural term for save. Always in the scripture, this word is used in the sense of being delivered from some problem. In Matthew, if you remember, Peter was saved from the waves when he was sinking after walking on the water. In Luke, the possessed man was saved from the demons. Or in the book of Luke again, the blind man was saved from blindness. Or again in Matthew, the angel says that Jesus will save his people from their sins. Can you imagine for a moment being saved from the waves where Peter is sinking and continuing to be in the water sinking? Well, no, that's nonsense. I mean, what if he had cried out to Jesus, Lord, save me? And Jesus had said to him, go ahead and sink and drown, and when I come back, I'll resurrect you. Would that have been salvation? No, that's not saving. The Greek word is never used in that sense. Saving is always saving from the specific problem right now. What about the man who was saved from the demons? Is he still possessed? The man saved from blindness, is he still blind? The man saved from sinning, is he still sinning? Saved from sin, but still sinning? No. That's an oxymoron. It doesn't work that way. But the advocates of a sinning religion will say, but we're in Christ. But you cannot be in Christ and in sin at the same time, any more than you can be in Detroit and in London at the same time. It's impossible. You cannot be both in Christ and in sin. Jesus doesn't deal with sin that way. When this young woman comes and she asks Jesus to save her, does Jesus leave her in her alcoholism? When she comes and says, Jesus, save me, does Jesus leave her in her fornication? When she cries out, Jesus, would you save me, does Jesus leave her in her sins? No. No. How could we imagine such a wicked thought? You see, the gospel of Jesus teaches us that we can be saved totally and completely. And notice Ephesians 2, verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Can you be raised up with Christ and seated with him in heavenly realms now and still be in sin? That would not be salvation. Now, you also need to note, just very quickly, it says, by grace you have been saved. And Titus is very clear. Look at Titus chapter 1, verse 16. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. By their actions they deny him. Or then come down to verse 11 in chapter 2. This is Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That's the grace Paul is also speaking about over here in Ephesians, the second chapter. It teaches us, that is, grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So can you imagine that a person could be saved and be left in their sin? Utterly impossible. Today, are you walking in sin? Do you need to be saved? Is God's wrath on you? Have you turned aside? Until you turn aside from your wickedness and you begin to cry out to God to save you from your sin, you will not be born again. Oh, you can be a wonderful religionist, but there will be no power of the Holy Spirit. And so today I ask you, how serious are you with God? Are you willing to deal with your sin? Do you have a hunger for the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you need your life changed, or are you satisfied with a comfortable place where sin is not talked about and where there's only entertainment, sweet words of encouragement, music, concerts, but no turning away from the world and all of its alluring power? What is it you want today? Do you want Jesus today? If you want Jesus, you're going to have to deal with your sin. You're going to have to be saved by grace.
I'm Pastor Jan Greenlee. We pray that you've been awakened today by the Holy Spirit to a hunger for Jesus and His holiness. If you need someone to pray with you, call 703-490-8723. Write to us at the National Prayer Chapel, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia 22195. That address again, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia 22195. To receive a copy of today's message, visit our webpage, nationalprayerchapel.com. If you want to get right with Jesus and experience His joy in your heart, come worship with us on Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. at the Grace Lutheran Church, located on the corner of Prince William Parkway and U.S. 1 in Woodbridge, Virginia. At the National Prayer Chapel, you will find Jesus, the bread of life.